Welcome to the Get Cyber Smart podcast, your 7 to 10 minute educational look into this crazy thing we call cyber. I am your host, retired FBI supervisory special agent Darren Mott. And in this episode, we're going to talk about why you shouldn't click on that link in that email. Why? Because everybody else does. So I want to take a quick moment to thank everyone for continuing to download this podcast and give it a listen. For those who download my other podcast, the Cyber Guy podcast, and listen to that. And for those who've checked out these videos on YouTube, this episode, episode 13 of Get Cyber Smart, will be available on YouTube about the same time that the podcast becomes available. So feel free to go check that out. I'm going to talk with a PowerPoint in this particular episode. So you'll have that there if it's something you want to look at. You don't need to go to YouTube to see the PowerPoint in particular, but I'll kind of talk about some of those things, or the things on the PowerPoint, in the audio version, so it'll certainly make sense to you there. So this episode is called Don't Click That Link, and the reason it's called that is because in 20 years working cybercrime for the FBI, one commonality I found in most of the cases that I worked or were associated with or had awareness to, the way the bad guy got into a network was through social engineering. So, and they did that because regardless of your organization, someone always clicks a link. Many companies do phish testing, where they send fictitious emails hoping someone will click the link and then test that and see how many people, you know, click the link. And in most cases, I'm not aware of a whole lot of companies that have 100% compliance where someone doesn't click the link in those phishing emails. There are companies that exist simply to provide that service to do phish testing. And so you have a lot of that. And there was one company I talked to once. I was doing a presentation for them, and they were very proud because they did a phish test and only 8% of their employees clicked the link. It wasn't a big company, so 8% is probably a lot, but besides the 8%, there was one person who clicked the link 42 straight times, basically saying, why is this not working? Kept hitting the link. So bad guys know that they are looking for the easiest way to get into a network, be it a corporate network, be it your home network, be it a network that maintains your personal information, and it allows them in to steal your social security numbers, your bank account information, your passwords. All of those things have happened in the past in previous cases simply because someone clicked a link. So the majority of these cybercrimes start with social engineering. So what is social engineering? This goes back a long way before cyber even existed, where you would get people to do things by convincing them to commit an act for whatever that looks like. In the cyber world now, social engineering comes in a variety of different ways. So some of the things I'm going to talk about, you may not say that doesn't really sound like cyber, but there's a cyber aspect to it. So the first one, obviously, is email. Probably not a person listening to this podcast, watching this video on YouTube, that doesn't use email on a daily basis. Bad guys realize that the easiest way to get to people is through email. So you probably get a lot of email in your junk folder. You get a lot of email that bypasses your junk folder. I'm actually going to show an example of this here in a bit. I've been getting a lot of these. We're in the holiday season, so bad guys realize that people are going to be very cognizant of looking for deals for holiday shopping. The older folks among us are going to be looking at information about Medicare. There's a lot of different things the bad guys look at to create emails that have a link on it that they hope someone clicks on, that will either download malware, send them to a website that allows them to download malware, do a whole host of different things. So, I mean, the type of malware we're talking about will be a separate episode when we talk about keyloggers and things like that. But for in general here, we're just talking about social engineering and why it works. So email is the most common way. If you go into your junk folder for your email provider, if you're using Gmail, Yahoo, whatever, you will see a lot of emails that are specifically social engineering type emails designed with a subject line that makes you look at it and say, ooh, I should really read what's in here. And then hopefully, or they hope, you'll click on a link within that email that'll do bad stuff to you. Now, beyond email, there's also websites, obviously. The email could send you to a website. So the email may not have malware, but it'll send you to a website that has malware or ask you to input your personal identifiable information, usernames, logins, passwords. This has been going on a long time. It was called phishing simply because they would send out email to everybody, as many emails as they had. It's modified now to what's called spear phishing, where it goes to very specific people. So if you look at the to list, you kind of can say, well, that's obviously going to 100,000 people, so it's got to be fake. But if it only goes to three people in a company and it appears to come from the CEO, chances are someone's going to click on that email or then go to the website. So there, you know, websites could cause malware to be downloaded. Another thing, stepping back to email real quick, another thing beyond clicking the link is they send attachments, PDFs, Microsoft documents, Word, PowerPoint, Excel, and those can have malware attached to them so that when you open the file, the malware runs. Again, you're clicking on that attachment that causes the bad thing to happen to your network or to your information. Texting, also known as smishing for the SMS piece. So they'll send you a text message, especially now. I'm recording this on December 7th, so it's holiday season. We're all doing Christmas shopping. So you get that email that says, this is UPS, your delivery has been delayed. Click here to reschedule it. And if you're expecting a package from UPS, FedEx, or whatever, you're likely to click on that email and then go there. And I apologize for the people looking at this on YouTube. I misspelled texting. I wrote this up pretty quickly beforehand, didn't do much spell checking. So I meant texting, not textine, which is on the in the PowerPoint. So, but if you're not looking at this on YouTube, it really doesn't matter. So that's phishing. And then there is phone calls, which is called vishing. They use voice over IP to send you phone calls that hopefully you click on the number in the phone number to go to talk to somebody. So these are going to be your, hey, your auto warranty has expired. We've tried to get a hold of you. Or I'm from the Department of Internal Revenue Service. We have a warrant for your arrest. All sorts of different mechanisms that they try to get you to get on the line with. One of the big ones, especially those that impact the elderly, are technical support calls, where they don't call you, they get you to call them. So they maybe send you an email first that says, hey, you have a virus on your computer, call this number to have it removed. I had one of these where that said, hey, you just renewed your McAfee subscription for $350, call this number if you don't want it. Well, I knew A, that I didn't have a McAfee subscription. There was nothing to click on in the email other than here's a phone number to call. So I called the phone number. If you go to my Cyber Guy podcast, there's actually an episode where I talk to the guy on the other end. I think it's called Talking to a Scammer or something like that. It's a couple episodes previous. So you can kind of see they get you on the hook to try to get you to download stuff onto your computer that then gives them access to everything on your machine and allows them to steal logins, usernames, passwords, things like that. Are these the only ways that they use social engineering? No, but they're the most common. Emails, websites, texting, and obviously phone calls. So I got an example of one of these the other day. I'm getting a lot of these actually. And I'm going to talk about kind of what they looks like. If you're looking at this on YouTube, you can see an email from my email, my Gmail account. And it says, welcome to Medicare 2022. It says, see if you are eligible for a $0 premium Medicare Advantage plan. So if you have Medicare, and I don't have Medicare, so this, I knew this was not for me, but if you're have an older parent who has Medicare and they get this email, is it likely they'll click on a link in this email? It's possible if they're not made aware of, you know, what the threats are out there. I have another video on my YouTube channel called Protecting the Elders or Elder Fraud. It's about 15 minutes long and kind of goes into more of this stuff. But if you look at this email, so I'm looking at this, it came today. The email, and I'm going to read the email, support.pdk1a1nxwxu@smtp570.ndsjava.com. Does that sound like it comes from Medicare? It does not to me. So that's the first thing that should be identified in one of these emails is that the from line is completely bogus. Now, these people who'd sent this one are clearly stupid because it's not hard to spoof an email address, but they clearly are relying on the capability of social engineering to work for their victims. So that's why they sent it. And it went to Darren@AOL.com and DarrenMD@AOL.com. I've never had those email addresses. So what I'm thinking happened here, and if you look through some of these scam emails, I'm not saying open it and click a link in. I'm just saying if you look at the header information, you probably have some of these where it looks like it went to an AOL.com account and got forwarded to my Gmail account. This is coming to my Gmail account. So my guess is my name, my email address is in one of several different data breaches that have occurred over the last several years. So on the dark web, darren.mod@gmail.com is out there as a legitimate email address. It's not hard to set up a rule to forward, darren@aol to darren@gmail.com. So I know this is fraudulent because of who it's going to. It's not my Gmail account. But if you also look at this particular email, the picture that shows the see if you're eligible for 0% premium Medicare Advantage plan and all the other stuff clearly looks like it's a copy and paste into the email. It doesn't look like it's typed in, that's blurry. There are links to click on it that if you want to unsubscribe. All of these links that allow you to click on it are bad if you click on it. Something bad's going to happen. It's going to send you to a site that you input your Medicare information. It may download malware. I don't know what it does because I'm not certainly going to click on anything, and I don't have the tools on my home computer to download it and take a look at the malware. But there's something obviously fishy with this. So this is just an example of social engineering attempts. This is a bad one. There are certainly good ones. Obviously, COVID Omicron is the new COVID variant, and that can certainly get people to open that if it says, hey, here's how to protect yourself from COVID without needing a booster shot. Obviously, vaccinations is a big news story. There's people on different sides of the vaccination debate. But if you key into people's fears, their personal, I don't know what the word I'm looking for. It's their not desires so much, but their things that are important to them. You can get them to click on things within an email if it's something that's important to them and they think can help them. So that is why social engineering works. And so that really, in my quick little, 10, 11 minute nutshell, is what social engineering is. It's, again, the main way bad guys are getting into networks, not just your home network, but corporate networks and other networks that companies use to store your data. So with that, I thank you again very much for taking the time to listen to the Get Cyber Smart podcast or watching it on YouTube. If you have questions or feedback, feel free to email me, darren@cybersmart.com. I respond to every email I get. To be honest with you, I don't get a whole lot, so that's okay. But please feel free to send me anything. If you have a topic you want to talk about in the future, I'd be happy to do that. Know that knowledge is protection. The more you know, the better you'll be. If you get a little cyber smarter, you'll get a whole lot cyber safer. We'll talk to you next week.